Hopes, and welcome to your outlet for outdoors and Western lifestyle, The Ben Show. I am your host, Rebecca Wanner, a.k.a. Beck. We say this each week. We do love hearing from all of you, your comments, stories, ideas. Get a hold of us anytime. Call or text 305-900-2363. Again, that's 305-900-2363. Or you can always drop an email to BenRadioShow@gmail.com. Ryan Long, as always, is my co-host, Jeff Tigger Earhart. Now, before we dive into a really fun topic here later in the show, I'm going to give you a little tease. It deals with gator hunting, something that we all know that Tigger has been wanting to do. But before we do that, I saw this cross my wires, and I just had to share this because how many times have we heard about the fluffy cows, the Highland cows in particular, those that have made the rage, I would say. I think they were trending for quite some while, from decor to everything else. Well, listen to this. In the United Kingdom, one farmer is taking an unusual step to protect his livestock from social media attention by trying to make them less cute. Alex Birch, a farmer in Derbyshire, UK, says he plans to crossbreed his Highland cattle to reduce their famously photogenic appearance. The goal? Discourage influencers and visitors from approaching them for selfies and videos. Birch says the problem has grown over several years. Tourists regularly entering fields, touching the animals, and filming content, sometimes even staging yoga sessions nearby. The cows, which graze in the scenic Baslow Edge, have become a viral attraction online. Local authorities, including the Peak District National Park Authority, have repeatedly warned visitors not to approach or touch the animals, citing real risks of trampling or injury, especially when calves are present. Hello, we know what time of year it is right now. It's calving season. Despite those warnings, Birch says crowds continue to gather. In one instance, he found dozens of people surrounding his herd with cameras. He worries that if someone gets hurt, he could be held legally responsible. Crossbreeding the cattle with other hill breeds, he says, may tone down their shaggy coats and distinctive look, features that have fueled their online popularity. It's not a decision he's happy about. The cows have been in his family since the 1970s, but for Birch, it's become a choice between preserving tradition and protecting both animals and people from a growing social media trend.
This is a dumb story. This is a dumb story because I have so many questions. Why is he allowing people on? Is it his private property that they're trespassing on his land?
That's the problem. He's not allowing them, and he can't stop
them.
So
he needs to take this to a whole nother level. Instead of he's going to go and change the closed genetic intensity of the Highland cattle and completely change that because people are trespassing. You need to get authorities on this because somebody coming in and doing yoga in your pasture, could you imagine, here I go, if somebody would, we'd come home and somebody's out there in our pasture. I get wound up enough if somebody's parked on the hill just because we have a beautiful scenic view where we're at.
Oh,
and all they want to do is enjoy the sunset, and they're not doing anything wrong, but I get bowed up, you know, what are you doing out there?
I know, right away, especially, as I said, this is happening in the UK, but in the Americas, think about it, it constantly is trending. The word tourón, I hate to say it, it's a mixture of a tourist plus a moron. It is a true word. Look it up, tourón.
I never heard it.
And these people, they do. They see animals. They're how many degrees away from the farm and ranch families they grew up on. So now when they see any kind of cow or buffalo, they think it's free game to take photos and stop. It's an opportunity to go trending on social media. So I feel bad for him. I don't know what the legal law authorities are over in the UK, because I know in the United States.
There's more to this story, though. There has to be, because where people can come that close, you know, there's more to this than just he has a private place and he's got a bunch of miniature Highland cows and everybody's swarming there. There's got to be more to this story.
Well, I'm sure there is a bit more. And having traveled in Europe myself, farms are not to the size that they are here in the United States.
That's what I mean.
So yes, there is a little bit more to it. And you and I being the cow geeks that we are, we would never consider changing the genetics that have taken.
Charge them. Charge people to come in. If they want to do that, charge them X amount and they can come and they can take a picture and do yoga or whatever they want beside the little Highland cow. There's a few more ways to skin this.
We'll just leave it at that.
So are we moving on to gator hunting?
Yes.
Okay, so those of you that have followed the show, you know Beck and I have talked about gator hunting for a couple years now. We've talked about gator hunting. This is an incredible story. Our friends from Texas, Matt and Stacy Tarr, they were able to experience a hunt of a lifetime. Yes, it was a gator hunt like no other. Now, here's where it gets a little different. Now, Matt is a professional barrel man in the PRCA, in the Pro Rodeo Cowboys Association. Fantastic to work with, by the way. But this one has nothing to do about rodeo. This one is all about the gator hunt. And I got to be honest, Beck, I told you this is one of the neatest interviews that I have ever done in terms of it being interesting, I mean, fascinating, and all I'm going to say is I am sold. So, Matt, thanks for joining us with this. Let's get a little backstory on this hunt.
I ran a hunting business back in Wyoming long time, I mean, right out of high school. I had a guy that worked with me from South Carolina. He guided with me, and we've always talked about going gator hunting, and he puts me in every year, but it falls, that season falls in September, and we're still rodeoing. So it's hard to give up what pays the bills to go spend money. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yep.
And we had 5 weeks in Florida this year, and I'd talked to tons of people down there about going and doing it. And we were driving into Moorhaven, Florida for the Chalanica Ranch Rodeo, which if you ever get a chance to check that deal out, go ahead and do it. 'Cause it's wild. It's a party, but there was a sign right outside of town that said gator hunts. So I got there and we got pulled in and talked to John Scott, the guy that hired us. And so what's the deal with the gator hunt sign? And he started laughing. He said, don't worry about that guy. He said, but they got the best guy in Florida. He's on the board. I'll hook you guys up. So sure enough, we went over and met him, and he's like, man, if you guys can hang out for a couple of days afterward, we'll go gator hunting. I said, you gotta be kidding me. He said, no, I'll take you. I said, well, heck yeah, we're in. So we ended up, we stayed until I think 2 days after, and he called and he said, hey, you ready to go? I said, yes, sir. So me and Stacy and Branson and Memphis all loaded up in the truck, met him at his house. And for lack of a better term, he's kind of the nuisance gator guy in the area.
Mm-hmm.
He's an outfitter. He outfits turkeys, pigs, gators, and he's born and raised down there. And he has, I can't remember the exact number, but somewhere close to 300,000 acres down there that he can hunt. And it's all sugarcane fields, and all those sugarcane fields have canals that run down them. Northwest, east, you know, south. I mean, there's water everywhere. And we drove around, and if we saw one, we saw 50 gators that day in 4 hours. It was unbelievable. He was really cool where he took the time to teach us something about it, you know, and like measuring tracks and measuring slides. And now I know that if you come up on a gator track, you can measure from the tip of the claw on the back foot to the back of the heel, and that'll pretty much tell you how long they are. It's just a truly a blessing is what it was. I mean, the guy is one of the neatest humans you'll ever meet. Just super down to earth, super, super good guy. Him and his whole family. And that whole area is just a small town feel, you know?
What did you use to harvest your gator? Because when Beck and I looked into it and looked at different areas, we looked at Louisiana, we looked at Florida, uh-huh. We looked at different places. And depending upon the guiding service, you right. could use... you could use a firearm, you could use different types of weapons to harvest said gator. What did you use?
We used a 308.
Oh, gotcha. Yeah,
he had a gun.
And you ended up, so I alluded to this, it measured just a tick under 11 feet. Was that right?
Yeah, he was 10'8". He was 10'8". And Branson shot one that was 8'3". And I thought that was big.
So how do you measure those from ruta to tuta? Is that pretty much?
Yeah, from tip to tip. He just ran a tape measure down it, and from tip to tip, it was 10'8". It was unbelievable just how big they are. I had no idea. I mean, you see them in the, you know, you can go to Gatorland or your places like that and you see them, right? But to see one of those things up close, he said, they're like snakes. He said, stay away from their mouth. It doesn't matter. I mean, for a long time after they're shot, they can bite you. You can't hold it from shutting, but you can hold it closed.
Gotcha.
Is what he told me. We got back to his place probably an hour and a half after I shot mine, and he dropped the tailgate and went to pull him back in the truck bed, and that one of mine hit him. And when I say flung him, this is a 6'3", 6'4", 280-pound man, and flung him like he was nothing an hour and a half after he'd been shot. The power in those things are unbelievable.
Folks, we are not done with this story yet. We have part two coming up right after the break. You're listening to The Ben Show. We'll be back right after this. If you're buying or selling cattle, make your first stop LivestockMarket.com. Bred cows, heifers, pairs, bulls, and frozen genetics, even feeder calves. You'll find them all at LivestockMarket.com. Livestock Market features private treaty sales, online auctions, and live production sale bidding. You'll also find horses, sheep, goats, and hay. Check out the free Livestock Market magazine wherever you pick up Tractor House and download the Livestock Market mobile app today.
Hey guys and gals, this is John Armand with Ultimate Outdoor Adventures TV. Ultimate Outdoor Adventures TV travels the back roads to the backwaters in pursuit of the ultimate adventure in hunting and fishing. Join Team UOA every week for exciting action in the crosshairs of the outdoors. Catch Ultimate Outdoor Adventures TV on YouTube, Amazon Prime, and make sure to follow Team UOA on Facebook and Instagram to share in the ultimate outdoor adventure.
The world-famous Miles City Buck and Horse Sale is back for the 75th anniversary Western Experience of a Lifetime. Join us May 14th through the 17th in Miles City, Montana. From the finest bucking stock to electrifying horse racing, this event has it all. And don't miss out on the Pendleton Whiskey Kickoff Concert featuring Trace Atkins and special guests Cord Lund and Kenny Fiedler. Mark your calendars for the world-famous Miles City Buck and Horse Sale, where the spirit of the West comes alive. Get your tickets at buckinghorsesale.com.
Welcome back to The Ben Show. Our friends Matt and Stacy Tarr and their family had the opportunity of a lifetime by going gator hunting in Florida.
Now, you've been in a lot of different hunting scenarios, you know,
right,
both with firearms and archery. And I mean, you've
right,
guided, you're very knowledgeable, a number of different species that you've harvested yourself or helped harvest.
Right.
So what was it like when all of a sudden you are either, and I don't know, were you in a boat or the truck or what, of when you spotted this gator and you were looking and you looked at your son and, you kind of said, this is a really big lizard. I mean, let's just be honest. I mean, did it kind of give you the willies a little bit, even though you've been
sure,
in snake country and all of that, but didn't you just kind of look at it and say, all right, here, I've got my son Branson with me and this is a monster lizard.
Right. And it was cool. 'Cause we got to watch 3 hours of watching them and like how they act. And the one I killed, we came up on him about an hour before he was off in the water, and Justin, the owner of Gator Glades, he'd called him. He'd made a baby gator sound with his mouth. And this dude, I mean, he traveled 15, 20 feet right to the bank, not 20 feet from us. And there's not a ripple in the water. There's not a bubble. There's nothing. He just glides up there like nothing.
So did you do something involuntary and messy when he did that?
Man, I'm telling you, I'm like, you know, I've got a whole new respect for this deal. Because, I mean, for something that's 11 foot long and weighs 600-700 pounds to not make a ripple in the water. When your finger touches the top of the water, it ripples. And this thing's 600-700 pounds and didn't even didn't move the water at all. To slide up on you like that, it's a whole new meaning to eerie.
So if you had the opportunity to do this again, Would
absolutely.
You?
Absolutely. I'd been talking about it for 20 years, you know, and never had the opportunity to even be around it. Just wanted to go do it. And I told Justin on the way back, I said, well, the bucket list is getting thrown out the window now, because that was one of the coolest things I've ever done. Just to see the different terrain and how they are. I mean, I guess not being around them ever, and they're just prehistoric when you put your hands on them. And they're, I'm 6 foot, I'm a grown man, and my hand is half the size of his foot. The size of these things are just, they're just incredible animals.
And where Beck and I ran into the scheduling conflict was that very thing of the
right.
particular season when we could get down
right.
there. It was still in the busy time of year. We're still rodeoing at that time. We're
right.
starting to think about shipping calves and all of those types of things. It just
right.
it just didn't work in. Case in point, we never did really celebrate my milestone birthday. So we
you're recommending
do this.
I got you the guy now. And that's the cool thing about it is, and I was talking to him, and I was like, you know, usually I can't go. I mean, he said, no, and their seasons, like their public land seasons and all that, are around the same time. But him having that, being that nuisance guy and having all that private land and having to keep those numbers down, then when they issue him all them tags, it makes it to where guys like us can, I mean, he sent me two videos yesterday of two gators he killed. It's easier different times of year, and it's harder different times of year, just like everything, but he can take you whenever. That's the cool part about it. You can go anytime he's got a tag. It makes it really easy for guys like us that our scheduling, we miss out on birthdays and weddings and holidays and all of that stuff. You miss out on a lot of hunting. And here, this guy's just, he's got a good opportunity and an awesome price point to where it works out.
Okay. Branson's gator was like 8.2 or 8.3 kind of right in there. Yours was just a tick under 11 foot. Did you get both of these gators stuffed, or did you just get yours or just Branson's? That's the first question. And then where did Stacy allow this to be put in your house, or is it in the shop?
So my wife, God bless her, she understands that I'm half caveman and I like seeing dead things, you know? So we took Branson's, we took him to the processor there in just down the road. We got everything processed. I think my meat should be showing up here anytime, but I think off of mine alone, we got like 75 pounds of meat off of that thing. The more I was around them, the more I learned how much weight comes from their head and how much from that skin. Those scales and scutes on the back of that gator are massive. I brought Branson's head home with us, and I boiled it out and European mounted it for him for his birthday. So me and him got to do that, and that was pretty cool. And then Stacy actually, she wanted to get mine mounted, and she picked out the mount and everything that she wanted, and she's going to have it on the bar here at the house, so that we'll pick that up sometime next year.
That is awesome. That is an incredible story. All right, so I hope Beck was listening to this.
Man, it was, hey, I'm telling you, I got the guy. He's very, very knowledgeable and easy, and he has gators upon gators, man. I mean, we saw so many gators and just didn't even scratch the surface of the amount of land that this gentleman has to hunt down there. They have, and I don't remember the name of the tag, but there's a tag that out of staters can buy to hunt with him. There's a bunch of different tags, but I don't remember the name of this one. It was all 100% legal. It was like a $50 tag or something like that, that I had to buy to hunt with him. And man, it was awesome. He made it to where I could bring my whole family. Right. So Memphis, Stacy, Branson, everybody. He was big on the whole family. He wanted the kids there. He wanted the kids outdoors.
Where does this rank in all of your hunting experiences? Is this the number one so far?
For me, as far as what I have harvested myself, absolutely. And it is easy top three coolest hunts I've ever been on, period. I guess it's almost not fair because I put it on such a pedestal for such a long time as an unreachable thing. I mean, 20 years trying to get this done, you know, you kind of, oh, it'll never happen. You know what I mean? I was a fish out of water. I couldn't see them things for love or money. When they're in that water or they're up against them banks, I had heck, I couldn't see them. But I can sit 2 miles away and glass mule deer all day long, or glass sheep. I mean, it was a humbling experience. just everything about it. The people, the opportunity to have my entire family with me. And for my, I mean, I could have gone home. Branson shot his first. I could have gone home after that, you know, to have the opportunity to take your 14-year-old son and go do something like that is just beyond measure. For what I've ever hunted myself, absolutely the tip of the sword.
Now, if this doesn't convince you to book plane tickets and head to Florida to go gator hunting, nothing will. Was this not the most amazing story? And you've got the pictures from Matt and Stacy. They're going to be on the Bend page as well, right?
Yes.
On the website?
Head to the website, thebendshow.com, for pictures, as well as to book yourself a hunt with Gator Glades Hunts out of Moorhaven, Florida. Thank you, Matt, for being on the show and sharing your story. And again, congratulations to both you and Branson on tagging some amazing alligators.
Matt's was 10.8 feet, by the way, and Branson's 8.3 feet. Awesome.
Not a bad day, if you ask me. On that note, let's take a short break. We got more of the Bend Show right after this.
Welcome to Sire Buyer, a place where we connect cattlemen, the nation's number one destination for buying and selling breeding genetics. In-depth reviews and upbeat news on your favorite sires. Sire Buyer features the top Angus bulls across the country. Be sure to sign up to receive your directory by emailing info@sirebuyer.com. If you're looking for the best place in breeding genetics, you've just found it.
The hunt, the stories, the memories. This is Jake Fenrick with JB's Wildlife Designs. Let me capture and preserve that hunt, that story, that memory with a trophy mount to last you a lifetime. Look us up on Facebook at JB's Wildlife Designs to see samples of our taxidermy and reach out at any time with any and all questions you may have. This is Jake Fenrick with JB's Wildlife Designs. Taxidermy is my passion. Let me preserve yours.
The world-famous Miles City Bucking Horse Sale is back, featuring one of the largest one-day matched bronc riding events presented by True Vet Solutions. Join us on Sunday, May 17th for a PRCA-sanctioned spectacle where over 30 elite bronc riders compete for a massive $75,000 purse in honor of the 75th annual Miles City Bucking Horse Sale. Visit buckinghorsesale.com for schedule and tickets. The world-famous Miles City Bucking Horse Sale, where the spirit of the West comes alive.
Welcome back to The Bend Show, your outlet for outdoors and Western lifestyle news. Off the news desk, we head to Colorado, where federal wildlife officials are asking the public to weigh in on how Colorado is managing its wolf reintroduction effort, especially when it comes to conflicts with livestock. The U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service says it wants to hear directly from ranchers, landowners, and others about their experiences with wolf attacks, prevention efforts, and compensation. Public comments are open through June 5th. Colorado voters approved the return of gray wolves in 2020, and the state began releasing animals in late 2023. Under a special federal designation, Colorado has some flexibility to manage the wolves, including, in limited cases, killing them, even though the species remains protected under the Endangered Species Act. Since reintroduction began, state officials have confirmed just over 50 wolf attacks on livestock and guardian animals. Compensation to ranchers has already exceeded initial state funding levels, with more than $700,000 paid out this year alone, and total payouts expected to surpass $1 million. Federal officials are now asking whether those compensation programs are working, how effective non-lethal deterrents have been, and how well agencies and communities are coordinating. The request for input comes amid a rising political tension. Some conservation groups argue the review could undermine wolf recovery efforts, while others, including some lawmakers, are pushing to remove federal protections for wolves altogether. For now, federal officials say the goal is to gather feedback and improve how the program works for both wildlife and the people living alongside it.
So I do have a question about this one. They say to use non-lethal deterrents. What are landowners supposed to do? Get out there and just yell, "Get out of here, wolf! Get out of here!" I mean, come on.
Especially when you consider, look at whether it's wolves or it's coyotes or anything, they become used to people. They
Absolutely.
Come into cities. Look
Absolutely.
At California 100%. Has an issue with it, with them coming into the metropolitan areas. So this, of course, Tigger and I are going to stand on the landowner's side because this is part of a person's way of life.
And you proved it when you said the numbers. You said that already $700,000 has been paid out and that more than exceeded their expectations. They're looking this year to surpass $1 million. So what does that tell you of, maybe we didn't think that the wolves were going to cause this much damage, but they did. So I'm glad they're going back to the drawing board, maybe not back to the drawing board, but getting at least some public opinion on this and letting landowners and land users come in and explain, hey, this is kind of what's going on out here by using these non-lethal deterrents.
You're laughing at this.
Get out of here, wolves.
You're hoping it's not going to be like in Florida where they came up with robot bunnies to distract the Burmese pythons. I mean, it just doesn't work.
Oh, please tell me that that's not part of this program.
No, it isn't, but I had to bring it up.
Land the plane. Wish everybody well, Beck.
We're going to call this show wrapped for this week, folks. Remember to keep sending in any questions you might have, something spot-worthy for us to share, as well as your area's field reports. We know the fishing is getting hot out there. That number you can call or text anytime, 305-900-2363. Again, that's 305-900-2363. Or you can always email bendradioshow@gmail.com. And if you missed part of this show or want to hear past episodes, you can find them all on the website, thebendshow.com. Finally, a big thanks to all you listeners out there that came along. And whether you're coming or going today, stay with us as we ranch it up. And remember to keep up with me, Beck, all week long by following The Bend on Facebook and on Instagram at The Bend Show. This is Rebecca Warner. Catch Beck if you can next week on The Bend.